This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are going to be answering a couple of questions from the Facebook group. They're really good questions. And I don't know, I guess just warning that we're about to talk about body parts very frankly.
It's not really bad, but it's bad enough.
Yeah.
If you have a child, you might want to listen to this first, before you let your child listen.
So we won't
Or your whoever.
Okay, we won't go into too much detail. But right before this, ZD and I were discussing current events. Okay, the Olympics are going on.
Yes.
Or, well, they're over.
They're just finished. They're over. They just finished.
And there was an athlete, it was reported on several
news
sites. Cross-country
skier, I think.
Who? I don't know.
Some sort of skier.
Well, who froze, his penis froze.
Yes. Well, and the thing about this is, they had even delayed this race once because of frostbite issues.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, saying the wind chill was really bad, and then they rescheduled it. But it was there was still a lot of, like, wind chill issues. Okay. So I read one article. It wasn't very good, so I looked for another one. I read another one. And apparently this happened to him before in another race.
How ZD said it to me is like, the way you said it was like, apparently this or a penis froze in 2018. I was like a different one attached to a different person? Yeah. And you're like, no, same person.
Right. So I say, if I had a penis, once would be enough. I would make a garment for it.
Yes, you would.
I would know how to do that.
Some insulation.
Well, the way he thought it was with the heat pack, and I thought, why not wear a heat pack the whole time?
Okay, so anyway, the funniest part about all of this is ZD and I, we will catch up to test the microphones.
Right.
Ha ha, you know, we're talking about this or that, family stuff, whatever. What are you cooking for dinner? I don't know. Then ZD looks down at her phone, and it's been recording our whole penis conversation.
<That's right.
laughs> Luckily in a text message to me
to her.
And not like to, I don't know, some like, I don't know, like you're.
I don't have anybody in my phone that would offend, I don't think. Not anymore.
You don't have any like sensitive, you know, like business contacts?
No. But I used to work for this one woman and people used to tell me if she really knew I was like, I'd get fired.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
If she
absolutely knew
the things I said, like, you know, in my car on the way home
or something. I think that since we've already said like it's this episode
that,
is.
If we said that, we can say the next thing.
We can say the next thing. Yeah, right. The episode's slightly explicit. We have a buttonhole question.
Every time we get a buttonhole question on Facebook, someone will answer in the comments, and I don't know, I'm not sure who did it this time, but don't be offended by this.
It's a different...
Someone, and it's not always the same person, someone will always say, when I first read that, I thought you said butthole.
Every time. Every time. And it's a different person posting, a different person reading.
And then somebody else will say, yeah, me too.
Yeah. I read it wrong.
No, every time I see buttonhole, I think butthole.
Here's something like, buttonhole question. And they're like, oh, I thought they said a butthole question. And I think it's hilarious. It's almost as good. Well, I don't know. It's almost as good as something I've really loved in the group is when people are like, I misplaced X. I misplaced my pocket. I misplaced my scissors.
Right.
Can you all tell me where it is?
Right.
And they ask the people in the group, and I just love that. Okay, so without further ado, Susan asks.
A butthole question.
Buttonholes. Colon. Ha, get it. Uh-huh. Get it. Buttonholes. What is the secret to the top one on a shirt or skirt? My buttonholer works perfectly for all others, but get stuck when there is a collar or waistband right next to where the hole has to be. I generally do the buttonholes second last before the buttons and then done. Any suggestions? So what Susan's coming up against is she does all her buttonholes on like a placket or like on the edge of something that's fairly
or when this happens, yes,
flat, and it's all so it's all good for a while, and then she comes to
a lump
waistband collar that has, you know, so lots of variation.
What she's coming in upon is an uneven surface.
Yeah,
that's what it is. You know, when she says near a waistband and all that, so it's a waistband or another seam or something, and that is what happens. What do you do, Mallory?
Well, first.
Put a snap there. No.
First. Yeah, forget about it. Velcro. Glue it. No.
Don't make that kind
of
stuff.
Hook and eye. Yeah, stop. What are you doing?
Well, leave it open.
Okay, I must say, though, I do. Before I say this, we have a really great episode and blog post about buttonholes.
Yeah.
If you go to sewhere.com/buttonhole, okay. Not so. Oh, my God. Maybe I should make a click. I should make a quick link to sewhere.com/buttonhole. Oh, I won't do it.
There's
an
O in it.
Yeah.
It's butt on hole.
Butt on hole. Okay. If you go to sewhere.com/buttonhole, you will find like lots of our biggest tips. We've been told by several people that this podcast episode blog post is life changing.
Yeah, I think it's one of our best informational. Okay.
So there's
podcast.
That.
Yeah.
But this, I think maybe this is a part we didn't particularly cover. But I do want to say, since you bring it up, if you're not going to button the top collar like area of your shirt, you don't have to put a buttonhole there.
That's right.
Like no one is going to police you
right.
about that. So I do want to say that. That's a good point, because a lot of people don't button all the way up to the collar.
Well, have ever noticed on ready to wear, a lot of times on a button down shirt, the top button will be smaller.
Yeah.
And that is part of the reason. It's, you know, it's less obtrusive, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Mallory's right. And if you watch this Perry Mason episode.
Are you watching the new Perry Mason?
No, I'm watching the old one.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So, okay. So there was this fashion designer, right? And like, she got killed, and what happened is her assistant was trying to actually kill the fashion designer's husband's mistress, okay? And she acted like she couldn't get a button on this cape. And so what she did is she made, you know, she had a fashion brooch. And so if you do that, you can put poison on the pin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And kill somebody if you want.
Okay, so here's the deal. Don't use buttons. Use pins. See that you can kill your enemies with... All right, so... Yeah.
So what you want to do, Susan... Mm-hmm. It was Susan. Right?
Yes, very good.
Okay.
Who, Melissa Kathleen? What was the name of that guest?
I don't know.
It was Melissa Kathleen. I think she listens, like, regularly, so I hope she gets a laugh out of that.
Anyway, you want to try and even it up.
Yeah, the surface.
The surface, or, you know, level. So the foot is always going level.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not even possible.
I mean, I'm going to say, obviously, Susan has, like, other things figured out if her other buttonholes are going well.
Right,
okay?
Right.
So that's the first. She listened to the first episode.
Yeah.
But she needs to do some prep work. This is all, like, before the sewing.
Right. Right. And I guess, you know, if you're in you're going to have to practice is part of what you're going to have to do with this, or experiment, whatever. But you may need to put, you know, tear away under part of it and double it up under part of it or something like that to make this level, because it's that lump is getting in your way.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I was going to say, another thing is beat it down really hard.
Okay, so that's what I said.
Right. That we do that especially like on jeans.
Okay,
that's hard to do on a fine fabric, because you'll bruise the fabric and it'll never be the same.
So a few people also said, and I don't know, you know, right. Susan, no offense meant here, but do make sure that you're trimming and grading the seams properly.
And that's what will make them not have the bulk.
It will have, like, and even if you're, so if you trim and you trim everything at the same length or distance away from the seam, you'll get a big lump.
Right.
So when we say grade, grade means a gradual.
So each layer is a different length, basically.
Yeah. So you might, I think that I had this misconception when I first started doing like waistbands and stuff. I was like, let's just try and trim all the bulk we can away.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, we want to reduce bulk. However, when you grade it, it looks better, not only from like a buttonhole perspective, it looks better from the outside. You don't have like a lump at the seam. So that's
it
what
grading
is.
It makes a transition is what it does between levels.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot of this is practicing how to do it too. Yeah. And so I guess what I would say, if you're really afraid, if there's something you're afraid to stitch on, I would mock up that piece.
Make a sample,
exactly the same and see how it goes.
Okay, and I'm so sorry. I mean, we're telling you to, like, make a shirt collar.
You don't have to make a whole shirt collar.
Yeah, I know. It's still pain in the butt.
And, you know, there are some fabrics, okay, depending, you know, if you're following a pattern, whatever you're doing, you may have picked a fabric that is thicker or not the same as what was used.
Very true.
Okay, in that pattern that's giving you those instructions to put that button in that place. So you may have to opt for something different, like a snap behind a button.
Mm, mm,
okay? Yeah. So I don't know if you know that trick.
Yeah, I love that trick.
So,
love that.
And that's a very, very common couture trick. Is, in fact, they not only have a snap behind the button instead of, you know, doing the buttonhole, they will have a snap between each button distance so that it doesn't pop open.
And, well, we've also talked about a backwards button on, so there's this, you can put the snap between or you can put a backwards button that where the button is
a button
on the
behind
inside.
It. Yeah. Right, right.
So hammering. Let's just go back to hammering.
Right.
On jeans, freaking go for it.
And on jeans, you can truly use a hammer.
Yeah, hammer. Just go for it.
Right.
Be careful of your service. Don't hammer on like your, I don't know, $3,000 like sewing table.
Yeah.
Like go do it.
Actually, you should have a few.
You should have a block of wood.
You should have a few blocks of wood, scrap wood in your sewing studio. Anyway, for various things.
Okay, so if it's not jeans, what you can do, you can use your two scraps of wood to sandwich and also like put felt, you know, or like a different fabric or something, like distribute that. And Susan said, okay, I'll go buy a mallet. Good point, Susan.
Yes.
Mallets are good for all sorts of stuff,
right. And,
you know,
there's kitchen mallets too, okay?
Like a little softer,
sometimes you can use just a piece of wood, okay? You can take that piece of wood and you know, stomp it down, tromp it down.
Yep, you can. You can just kind of like tamp the bulk of the fabric down. So, but yeah.
I mean, I've used a book before.
Okay, if you're doing this on like silk.
Right.
Okay, well, first of all, you might not have as much trouble, you know. Interfacing, though, will help with this too. I'm picturing, for some reason, I know you said waistband. I'm just picturing a shirt collar.
I keep
for
picturing
some reason
a shirt band too or something.
Yeah, I'm just picturing a
shirt. Or a cuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. The interfacing in that situation, like using the cotton organdy, I feel like has helped me a lot. It just helps things. And then if you are, I don't know exactly where this is getting messed up in the process of the buttonhole, but I will sometimes help my fabric along.
Yes.
Very gently. Like, I'm not pushing and pulling.
You're guiding.
But I'm making sure it's progressing. You know.
But you've already tried a few buttonholes, too, to know what that feels like.
Right. And I'm just more confident, you know, in that.
The other thing, and I know you said you've made all these buttonholes and you're accomplished, and you would get this, anyone who listens to the podcast about buttonholes, I never not use stabilizer behind a buttonhole.
Yeah.
Never. Okay. The other thing, too, is your thread may make a difference. Now, we make our buttonholes with embroidery thread.
Yeah.
It's finer. It lays better. And honestly, it will make the buttonhole nicer and it will flow better. If you're using construction thread, it piles up, you know.
Yeah.
Where the embroidery thread does not.
Yes. No, you're very correct. Okay, so I said, you got this figured out in other contexts, in other, you know, fabric applications. But you're right. I think one of the biggest things about our recommendation is the, like, the lighter weight thread.
I do too.
I think that a lot of people see buttonholes that have been made on very specialized machines
right.
with really thick thread, and they think, I should go use thick thread. Mm-hmm. But actually, a high quality polyester embroidery thread is going to give you a really strong, nice yes. looking, well executed buttonhole
yes.
that you may not have expected.
Right.
Right? Okay, because you were like, I think that it should look like this buttonhole on this leather shoe or something.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. The only time I don't use a an embroidery thread on a buttonhole is if I'm doing a bound buttonhole or I do a hand sewn buttonhole where I want that bulky, like, what should I say?
Hey, funny story.
Graphic look.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of that you know, chunky look.
My first pair of ginger jeans, I did a hand bound buttonhole. Bound's not the right. Sorry.
Yeah,
just hand stitched. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like the blanket stitch, like the buttonhole right. stitch, right? And there was like, this is kind of early on with us being active on Instagram, and this woman was following us, and I was like, look at, this is the buttonhole I chose
right.
to do, you know? And partially it was because I was a little like, I don't want to do this on the machine. I
right.
want to screw it up. You know, do it by hand. And she like argued with me that I should not have done a buttonhole by hand because it won't be as strong. And she like unfollowed us.
Any buttonhole can be strong by hand or not. You just want to make sure, you know, you are doing it in a way that will be, what do I want to say? Not strong, but wearable and
I mean, your buttonhole shouldn't get like that much stress on it.
Well, I was going to say, if the buttonhole's getting that much stress, you have made your pants too tight.
You made your pants too tight or your buttonhole too small.
Right. Or your button's too big to the hole.
Right.
Or whatever.
Something
right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, there are
buttons. Or sitting in the wrong place.
Yeah. There are buttons, like, you know, there are crazy buttons out there that have
right.
like sharp crystals
yes.
on them
yes.
and stuff,
yes.
you know. And in that case, maybe you want to do like a bound buttonhole. Bound buttonholes are fun too.
Right.
Once you kind of get the hang of them. So anyway, yeah, those are our tips, Susan. Other people said, you know, things about
right.
the trimming and whatnot. And I just said, hammer that thing.
If you mash it nicely.
Yeah.
Like I said, it should work.
And, I can't believe
And you don't want to hurt your fabric.
No, but I can't in jean sewing. And actually, we're going to come to a jean sewing question.
And don't
this.
Press it with a hot iron. I don't know if anybody said to
okay.
do that. Okay, but it's really not the thing to do.
Okay.
Really not. That will start to contort the fabric.
Okay, yeah. So you're working in heat as well
yes.
as pressure, and
yes.
it can do other stuff. Okay. Great. Let's take a pause real quick and come back and answer our other question. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
And we're back.
And Mary Harmon, there are no dumb questions.
That's
you are
right.
Correct.
I love this question, and I didn't see that she had like appended that on the end of her question, but I love this question.
I almost hate when somebody says, this question's really dumb, and I'm like, no, it's not, or you wouldn't ask it. Like,
yeah, no.
But, I mean, no, the dumb person doesn't ask.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's, there's no dumb questions, just dumb people.
I got a dumb story related to this. Okay, Mary says, help, I'm trying my first pair of jeans. I was going to serge the edges of the pieces, but how do you do that without losing where all your notches are? No dumb questions, right? This is a great question. There are a lot of answers to it as well, like a lot of things to take into account. So I'm just like so glad that you asked it, Mary. So
One of my answers would be Sharpie.
Yeah, right? Oh, especially on jeans.
Yeah.
Sharpie, on jeans, I
love the
Sharpie
what I love
the shit
jeans.
Out of that.
I use, like,
yeah.
Ballpoint pens,
who cares?
Sharpies.
Yep.
Like, the worst thing I ever used, though, was I used, like, a kid's, like, it was a Crayola water marker. And it all comes off on your hands.
Yeah.
Don't use that.
Okay.
You're much better off with a permanent marker versus something like that. But, you can do anything. Chalk,
okay, so you can do anything.
But I will tell you, a pencil or a Sharpie is probably your best bet, honestly.
Especially if it's not going to show.
No, and jeans are tough and rough, and if you just mark it with chalk, it can fade.
Yeah,
you know?
It can. I liked using the Hansi Iron Away
marker,
but pen for like doing things like the pocket markings because
right.
it went away. But
right.
man, if I don't have to have something go away,
right.
I will use a permanent thing. We have like some weird calligraphy marker up here.
I use it all the time.
I end up using it for stuff. Yeah. I'm sure it's like really expensive, like $20 marker or something.
and we're just marking
the inside of our clothes with it.
Yeah, we're marking Halloween costumes.
Right, exactly.
With it.
So okay, but there are a couple other things. With notches, and I think this is becoming like really widespread in the indie sewing community, and that makes me very happy, like in the contemporary sewing community. Notch in.
Well, I clip in.
Clip.
I don't even notch.
Well, okay, that's what I mean. Yeah, so we sell the pattern notcher
and some
clip or what a cut in.
And a lot of people notch in.
Uh-huh.
That's actually kind of an old thing.
Yes,
people used to do.
It's, yeah.
Because it was easier to notch in. But I like to just make a clip.
Yeah, ZD just clips. Okay, if you do that, but then people are like, Mallory, she's still serging. What's going
to
happen? If you are finishing a pattern piece before you sew it together, which we'll get to the part where we talk about that. If you do that, just don't shave anything off. And I can still tell where I've notched.
I can still tell, too.
Yeah.
But if you can't, Sharpie.
Yeah, then Sharpie. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
But
like,
I have done that many times where I've notched in and I have finished something ahead of sewing it together.
Yes.
And I can still tell. Or you're saying clip in, just do a little clip. You could technically like notch. So you'll surge over air for like a millimeter.
If you do a notch, it might be better if you surge. I'm telling you, Sharpie.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah.
Okay. I would do Sharpie for efficiency purposes.
Yes.
Yes. And If I I would probably clip if I was marking in any other circumstance, right? So say I cut this out and I clipped and I'm just like, oh, I want to serge my side. Well, I would just go back and mark them right where that clip was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the only dumb thing you can do, Mary, in case you're interested. Pretty sure this person doesn't listen to the podcast, but I was teaching ginger jeans.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And there are notches on the ginger jeans starting kind of like at the – it's on
low
the
hip.
It's on the outside because where it is it's at the crotch on the inseam. The crotch is a notch, kind of, you know.
Sure, it
and,
is. It's a,
and then where that is on the side of your leg, at that level there's a notch, and then there's a notch at the knee. Right. The back of the jean is technically a little longer than the front, okay?
So you have to ease in
so you must
the
ease.
Back thigh, supposedly.
So that's why these notches are important.
Right.
Okay? And I would remind everyone, oh, don't forget, these are important, and they're how they were demarcated on that pattern was a little confusing. I don't think people realized it was a notch because it was marked as like a little black rectangle.
And this is one thing with indie patterns coming on the scene. At least with the major four, or the big four, or whatever they called them, all the markings were very similar, if not the same.
Yeah. So everyone
so
has like their own.
A notch meant a notch, you know. Yeah, a dot meant a stop. I mean,
right.
You know, a broken line was where you stitched, and a solid line was where you cut. And so when you get a pattern, you really need to look at their little index.
Yeah.
You know, they should have a little code someplace.
Yes.
That says, you know, this is your seam line. This is this. You know, this dot means you stop stitching here or whatever.
Okay. So, yeah, read the pattern and listen to your instructor. But these notches were kind of.
If it's Mallory.
In a weird. Okay.
Otherwise, she'll broadcast about you later on the podcast.
This person did other like insidious things. So I don't feel bad. Anyway. She's like sewing it together, and it was just not working.
Right.
And I was like, oh my goodness, you know,
right.
What's going on? Everything. And I was like, so somehow I got to ask her, like, did you mark the notch while you were cutting this out or whatever? And she told me no. And I said, so how do you know where the notch, where did you decide to place this notch? And she was like, well, I don't know. So she's like, made it up.
Arbitrarily
she just
put
made
on
it up. So that's the only dumb thing you can do is just put a notch somewhere.
Well,
and
I
just
will tell you, another thing you can do. And I know exactly who said this to me. And she was just learning to sew. And I wasn't really teaching her, but I was guiding her. She had bought her dad had bought a machine for me for her birthday. And she was kind of like doing this on her own, you know, but. You know, she'd call me or when I'd see her, she'd ask me. And she said, you know, I sew the side seam. And then when I get to the end, there's something left over. And I just cut it off, even with the hem.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So what Mallory just said was, when she said the crotch is like a notch, you know.
Yeah.
The end of where you cut your pattern is basically also a notch.
Very
okay?
good.
Those
landmark,
should match
yeah,
up,
they should
too.
Match.
So what she was doing is she... Honestly, she was just feeding wrong.
I taught her the ZD handhold where,
mm-hmm. you know, her bottom fabric would not go faster than her top fabric. So she's like, oh, this is really easy. And then, of course, then she liked sewing even better because she knew what she was doing.
Because then, and probably your stuff fit better. And actually, you know, there were a couple.
But I thought it was smart that she asked me about that.
Yeah, good. So, the other thing that this brings up, though, kind of like side note, okay, so mark your notches in a different way. You can, I don't know if somebody would like put a thread tack there.
You know,
seems a little overkill.
Thread tacks are excellent. If you're doing a tailoring ordeal or something and you need this marked forever and ever and ever, do you know what I'm saying? And you don't want to mar the fabric. But for cutting out a pair of jeans, I think it's too much work.
Well,
I think it's unnecessary.
A marking on a seam to me doesn't need to be that. It's like tailor tacks to me are things you do like on darts that go into the garment.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly. You know, but there we all know there's many ways to mark.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've seen people just put a pin there, and I'm like, pins fall out.
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure. So anyway, the. Other thing this brings up is someone was like, don't serge.
Can I put a notch on your...
Yeah, can I just put a notch? Sure, you can put a notch wherever the hell you want. Have fun, you know. Good luck, you know, with your notches, wherever.
So someone said, don't serge.
Don't serge before you put stuff together. This is, I mean, sometimes, yeah, you don't need to or want to. Or so that's that... If Mary has the idea, I must serge before I seam things together, that's not always true.
Right.
On a pair of jeans, I would finish the outer...
The outer leg.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't... Like, outer leg. Is that just what I say? Is that making sense? Okay.
Is that what you do?
Okay.
The outer seam?
The outer seam, I'd serge that ahead of time and seam it. I'd leave it... so that I can alter them in the future or whatever, right? Press right. it open, all that jazz. The inseam, I actually sew that and then serge it together after I seam mm-hmm. and I make a fake flat fell seam, right? Right, you know, one. So you don't flat fell the outer part
now,
of
the
jeans.
I will tell you,
generally.
I serge like, is it Mary?
Yeah. Mary. Yeah.
I serge my pieces when they're flat, you know, before I put them together.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, not always. Something can change, right? But if I'm going to finish my garment with a serge, I serge those pieces while they're flat before I do it, because then I'm go and then I can press them again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so there are different processes for different types right. of garments, and yeah, you don't have to, or maybe you want to.
Right.
And so you do things to where you accommodate the process or your preference.
Right. In
okay.
fact, if you're going to serge them after,
yeah.
unless you're going to serge them together, I think it's really difficult.
That's what, yeah. Okay. That's kind of a, I guess there could be an exception. But yeah, if I want things finished separately,
right.
I would serge them before.
I would serge first. That would yeah. be my basic rule.
Right. If I want them finished together.
That would be the rule that I would break when I needed
so,
to.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'd sew it together first. Very, yeah, that's a good, that's like a good point.
Right.
So there's lots of workarounds and lots of options, and you don't always have to serge ahead of time.
Right. And you know one reason it's good to serge them ahead of time?
Why?
Because inevitably, someone will be like finishing that seam on that almost finished garment, and part of that will get under the serger knife that they don't want under there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you're saying screw up earlier in the process.
Well, it's bulkier.
There's, cut the crap
well,
out of your... No, you're totally
there's
right.
There's a lot
it's,
of reasons.
No, it's harder.
Yeah. There's a lot
it
of
would
reasons
be,
it's bulkier.
Yeah.
It's in the way. You're at the
oh,
end.
Oh, you're totally right.
You're at the end. You got a lot of confidence.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Oh, one time I had a student, and this was really cool. It was a really not our typical customer. It was like this college kid, you know, a guy who was on like the basketball team or the football team at MU, wanted to sew and he wanted to alter his sweatpants, and he got on the serger and totally ate up, you know, like a third
half
of the back of his leg.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, and I said, that's a learning experience. It was just really cool to see somebody like in our sewing store who was not our normal demographic interested in sewing. It made me so happy. And then, yeah, he did totally did something. I'm like, that is something we all have done. It's okay. Don't worry.
But, you know, I've also done it and made me sick.
Oh, yeah.
And then, though, what has happened sometimes when I've done something like that is then I figure out a solution and I come up with a really good idea that then I incorporate into my sewing repertoire.
There you go. All right. So those are our two questions for this week. We're so grateful that you're listening. We're glad to be back. Life's been a little crazy lately. And so, yeah, we're happy to be in your ears again.
Our weather is amazing. Yesterday it was 72.
Yeah.
Right now, I believe it is 37 or 36.
Pre-blizzard.
And it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. Like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a lot of snow.
Yeah. It's
for
like,
days.
And that the same thing happened like last week.
Yep. We've had in the short month of February 3 5-day weekends.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
in this. Yeah. Exactly.
Snow weekends. Yes.
Okay, everyone. Well, thanks so much for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.